Today we are thinking of a man riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. I've never seen a man riding a donkey. I think we would be surprised if we saw a man riding a donkey into Ardley or Dedham. What a surprise it would be if a donkey came into the church with a man riding on it right now. That is the kind of surprise people had when they saw Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem on that spring day. Perhaps donkeys were used by people in humble circumstances, but here, as in Jerusalem at that time, it is unusual for a man to ride one and makes us surprised and gives us something to think about. I ask you, what do you see? Who do you see? What is going on? What does it mean? We know this really happened because there were eyewitnesses who wrote down what they saw. First, there were Matthew and John, who were both early disciples of Jesus and talked about this event, and later these memories were written down in what we call the Gospels. Most commentators think Mark, another Gospel writer, was there, or if not, he relied on Peter, who was definitely an eyewitness. Lastly, Luke, who tells us in his writings that he went about asking people to tell him all they knew and wrote it down. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four writers of the four Gospels, all record this event as seen by eyewitnesses. We've just read Mark's version. What does it tell us? It tells us that Jesus started from two villages, Bethphage and Bethany, that the donkey was borrowed, that many people were there who responded by spreading branches before the procession, and they called out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Though the details vary slightly, all the eyewitnesses give the same basic account. What do we see happening here? First, I would point out that Jesus instigated the event. He took the initiative. He knew the donkey would be there for the disciples to find. He gave deliberate instructions. This is very telling, because when he did that, Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy given 500 years previously. He deliberately and intentionally acted on that prophecy, which reads like this in Zechariah chapter 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gently and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We see a man claiming to be a king. "See, your king comes to you." What did the crowd see? They saw the coming of someone with the power to save them from their enemies, like their most famous king in history, David. By their words, they are saying, "Here's a king coming to defeat the Romans and give us back our freedom, our rights, and our choice." We know from other accounts that the crowd had wanted to make Jesus an earthly king before, but on those occasions they were disappointed when he deliberately walked away. Some grasped at that idea and began to cry out, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us now." Can you hear the noise growing when others joined in and relished the sense of something's going to happen and happen soon? But as we read the rest of the detailed accounts of this week in Jesus' life, we find that the crowd by Friday were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Here was another occasion, and without thinking, many joined in. On both occasions, they were there for the ride, as we say. What did those who followed him closely see? We are told they saw his determination to go to Jerusalem. We are told they saw trouble and conflict ahead and had a sense of dread of what would happen to him. Some expected to die with him or to fight for him. Even for those sincere, loving followers, when the events of the week occurred, they could not grasp what lay ahead. Beforehand, they were screwing themselves up for a fight. But when Jesus was taken prisoner, they all fled. What about us who come to this event with knowledge of the death and resurrection of Jesus which followed? What do we see? We need God's help and the help of the whole of Scriptures to begin to grasp the meaning. Words like righteous, salvation, and gentle in the prophecy of Zechariah help us. Riding on a donkey rather than a war horse shows us that Jesus came to Jerusalem humbly, to lay down his life, to take all the pain, insults, and injuries thrown at him by humankind, and never, never once stop loving and forgiving. In this way, Jesus, by dying, made it possible for us to be right with God. We can receive wholeness and life through forgiveness and healing of all that we have done wrong and of all that we have suffered because of what he did. By faith in him, we are brought into his kingdom and freed from the power of evil in this world. His love too broke the power of death. No one was able to do that except Jesus. Jesus could because he was completely right with God. That meant that his relationship was one of loving obedience at all times with God the Father. And he was able, at a time of total darkness and separation, completely take upon himself the sin and disobedience of the whole world. So what do we see? We see the Son of God setting his face to go to Jerusalem in a way only he could, in humility, meekness, and gentleness, to give his life that we might be freed from the sin, darkness, and death of this world and enter into life everlasting by putting our faith in him. Of the people present at the death of Jesus, two stand out as people whose eyes were opened as to who Jesus was. The first was a thief who responded to Jesus' kingship by asking to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. He was told, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The other was the Roman centurion in charge of carrying out the crucifixion and death of Jesus. He said on that day, after hearing Jesus die with a loud cry, "Surely this man was the Son of God." It was not until after the resurrection that Thomas, one of his close followers, responded to the presence of Jesus in his glorified body with the words, "My Lord and my God." That same Thomas had said before these events, "Let us go with him, that we may die with him." What a wonderful change had taken place in his heart. This change is offered to us, as we are invited to see this man on a donkey as the Son of God, setting out deliberately and intentionally to do what only God could do in human flesh. That is to lay down his life for the sin of the whole world, you and me included. We may not have seen that fully yet. Indeed, which of us can ever understand fully this perfect love offering? But we can ask to have our eyes open, that we may see him more clearly and love him more dearly, as the old prayer of St. Richard of Chichester says. Sometimes seeing events through the eyes of another can help us to see more clearly. One hymn I have known since childhood, before I read the Bible for myself, has been a great help to me. It is "Ride On, Ride On in Majesty." It tells of the majesty and humility of Christ. It explains that he goes in triumph to defeat death, which holds us captive, and to conquer sin. It pictures the angels with sad and wondering eyes, looking on, unable to intervene, and not fully understanding. And there is Father God, waiting for Jesus, the Messiah, to return to him a victor. It is a hymn of the triumph, of the meekness of God in Christ, freely and obediently laying down his life for you and me. He is then free to take up his power and reign, as he does now, as King of the Kingdom of Heaven. Let me read it to you. "Ride on, ride on in majesty. Hark, all the tribes Hosanna cry. Thine humble beast pursues his road, with palms and scattered garments strode. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp ride on to die. O Christ, thy triumphs now begin, o'er captive death and conquered sin. Ride on in majesty, the winged squadrons of the sky look down with sad and wondering eyes to see the approaching sacrifice. Ride on in majesty, the last and fiercest strife is nigh. The Father on his sapphire throne expects his own anointed Son. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. Bow thy meek head to mortal pain. Then take, O God, thy power and reign."